Last week, we bid farewell to Mr. Adam Finstermaker, the seminarian who's with us for the summer, and he also sends back his regards and thanks once again for his time here with us at Queen of All Saints. Also happy to report that Sean Fontenot, now known as Brother Sean, settled in very well with the Carmelite Hermits who are in San Cristobal, Texas. And this weekend, we're going to bid farewell to Mr. Luke Johnson, who's been accepted as a seminarian for our diocese. Luke was an altar server here for many, many years. There'll be some refreshments served after Mass. If you've never met Luke before, if you want to just say hello to him, wish him well as he begins his studies at St. Joseph Seminary College near Covington next week. So glad that Luke is with us today. The word transfiguration literally means a change in appearance, a change in a person's face. And oftentimes we will see that when a person perhaps has been kind of laid down with guilt or sorrow, and then something happens in their lives and their face actually literally changes, and you can see the happiness kind of glowing in their face, in their eyes, in their smile. As I mentioned at the very beginning of Mass, this is exactly what the apostles encountered whenever they saw Christ Jesus face to face. And up until that time, knowing him only in his humanity, they began to see his divinity shining forth. They saw Christ for who he truly is, as the divine Son of God. And the same thing should happen in every one of us. Yes, we're human beings. Yes, we make human mistakes. And oftentimes, our humanity oftentimes shows itself all too well. But at the same time, through our baptism into Christ Jesus, we have been touched by divinity. And while we do have our humanity, it's the divine aspect of God that has been given to us through the sacraments that should be shining forth, as people can see Christ living in and through all of us who bear the name Christian. Speaking of himself in the gospel, Jesus said, "Men have longed to hear what you hear, but did not hear it. They have longed to see what you see, but did not see it." As St. Augustine tells us, the deepest desire that we have is for God, because God created us for himself. Our hearts are restless until they rest in God. Even if people don't know the fullness of the truth, if they've never heard the gospel at all, there is something in every human heart that longs for the divine. And this is where you and I come in. Chosen by God to be disciples of Christ, you and I are meant to bring the gospel to them, that those who long to hear the gospel can hear it from us, that those who long to see Christ can see Christ in us. That's the whole point and purpose of Jesus' coming to earth to begin with, to form the body of the church that we could be transfigured and bring his message, to bring his presence to the world. Are we living according to that? After all, you and I hear the words of Jesus Christ every time we come to Mass. We read the scriptures. Hopefully we do this every day, and should be thinking about what he says, thinking about his life and what he did. At any time, we can do that. We're very fortunate to live in this day and age when the gospel is easily heard, easily read. You can read the words of Christ. You can think about what he said, meditate on what he did, and act accordingly, choosing to act and live on the words of Christ, who himself is the Word made flesh, who came to live and dwell among us. The Word made flesh, longed for by the ages. Christ himself is the deepest desire of the human heart. Our love for him leads to an even greater desire, that is to be one with God, to seek union with God, and never to be separated from him. However, in our human woundedness to original sin, sometimes we pervert that desire into something extremely sinister. Instead of simply wanting to be with God, which we should, we invert that and say that we want to be God. We want to be God. We decide that we want to be the sole arbiter of truth and falsehood, that we decide what's true and what's not, that we decide what's right and what's wrong. I become my own God and do my own thing, and I will judge myself. Usually very favorably. And what do we hear Christ saying? He says that I am the way, I alone am the truth. In Psalm 97, we heard, "The Lord, the Most High, is over all the earth, and he is exalted far above all gods. He is over all the earth, not we. He is exalted above all gods, even the false gods that we claim ourselves to be from time to time. Listen to my beloved son, the Father says. Hear him. See him. See what he does. And looking at the life of Jesus, we know that everything he did was always in obedience to the Father out of love. And of course, it was done for us out of love. Think about how Jesus very gently, very cheerfully speaks to the world about the tender love of God the Father. Think about how Jesus tells us of the loving guidance of the Holy Spirit. How Jesus goes about doing good. How he consoles, he comforts, he heals. How he teaches people about the kingdom and who shall inherit the kingdom. He tells us how we must love one another and do good for one another. How you and I are to keep the commandments that the Father gave us through Moses, and that we are to be a people living lives of holiness and peace, free from sin, to be a people of prayer like Elijah. Jesus came to fulfill the law and the prophets represented by Moses and Elijah. He comes to give us the word in its fullness. He came to give us life. At the same time, after Jesus does all this, we see how he's hated by those, extremely hated, by those who don't want to follow the Son of God, but instead want to be God themselves. How the Lord's tortured and killed by those who are filled with hatred. But in the midst of it all, what does Jesus do? He prays for those who want to destroy him. He asks the Father's forgiveness on those who kill him. He pardons a thief crucified with him, and promises this thief paradise. Jesus dies. Now imagine what the apostles must have been thinking, which is exactly why he was transfigured. It was in preparation for the suffering that would come and for his passion and death, to remind them that he would die, but that he is also the source of life. Christ dies, but he gloriously rises on the third day. He reminds us that sin does not have the final word. Grace does. Death does not have the final word. Life does. He is the source of life. He is the source of grace. Christ is the light of the world, the giver of grace, through whom we see that we have eternal life, that we see all truth, that he gives all wisdom. Christ is God. Christ is everything. The Gospels tell us he was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his garments became white as light. A preparation for passion and resurrection, but also a reminder to us that we must die to sin and to live in grace and be transfigured. So for you and me, where is our desire? Do we want to see Christ? Do we want to become Christ-like? The call is there. But are we ashamed of something? Is there something perhaps that's holding you back? Perhaps you feel unworthy. If that's the case, then speak to him. Speak to him freely and truly. Tell the Lord how you feel. Tell him what you're thinking. Tell him about what you fear. And tell him about what you desire. In doing so, allow him to do for you what he did for the past 2,000 years, to heal you, console you, to comfort and assure you. Let him teach you. The voice of the Father from the cloud said, "This is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." At your baptism and mine, the very same words were said about us as it was said about Christ at his baptism. As the Holy Spirit descended upon him, so the Holy Spirit descended on you and upon me. And the voice of the Father said, even if inaudibly, "You are my beloved Son. You are my beloved daughter. Follow my only begotten, and you will have life. In you I am well pleased. Continue to live a life pleasing to me." Be ready to heed whatever the Lord wishes to tell you, whatever the Lord wishes to show you. Ask for the grace to love his will and to enkindle your spirit to faithfully obey him. Echoing the words of the psalm, Lord, this is the people who long to see your face. Our hearts and our souls yearn for the living God. When shall we see him face to face? In the end, when we leave this world. But in the meantime, continue to seek him, to seek his face, to be transformed by his grace, to be transfigured by the power of his love.